And joining us in the studio is our board. That's a different deal. You are our board chair, but is Ann Passas, and you kind of wear a lot of hats.
I do.
In this,
not right this second.
Not right this second. You're our producer. You're a board chairman, but you're here to talk about an adventure that you just had.
I did.
And that is, you walked across, hiked across, I should say, England.
Mm-hmm. The skinny part, we should add.
Buck asked about that earlier, that the crossways or the long ways?
The crossways.
And so people have an idea, if they can visualize the British Isles in their mind, kind of where is the route that you took?
Yes, I brought visual aids, but you know, they just don't show that well on the
radio.
They
really don't, no.
Hold your radio right up next to your eyeballs.
I brought my waterproof maps. This is a footpath about 200 miles long that goes from the Irish Sea to the North Sea, across the skinny part of England, up near the Scottish border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're pretty close.
So it's pretty far north.
The border.
In fact, they had suggested that you fly into Edinburgh or Glasgow to get to this place, but of course I'd already bought my ticket because I wanted to go to London. So yeah. I ended up with a long train ride to get there, but that was fine.
So this, they call it coast to coast.
It's a coast to coast walk.
And the deal is, you pick up a pebble from the ocean on the west side and carry it to the North Sea.
Correct.
On the east side.
You're supposed to throw it in triumphantly when you arrive, in addition to dipping your boot toes in the sea.
You know, it occurred to me today that if they have a lot of people doing this, they could dramatically affect the sea level. I think they want to be very careful with that.
I think that's a concern.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Now, when did you decide that you wanted to do this?
You know,
did you hear about it?
I've been reading about it for a couple of years. I don't know where, I truly can't remember where I heard about it, but it sounded intriguing and challenging and beautiful. And it's a part of the world I had never seen. I mean, I've been to London a couple times, but I'd never been to that part of England. And also the fact that it was possible to stay inside every night while doing a 200-mile walk.
As opposed to our first guest tonight, Andrew Sturka,
yes.
Who carries his, what did you call it, vapor barrier
his
liner.
Ultralight.
I don't think he brings any wine or ale on his excursions.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the route is, it's from what I read, 198, but some say it's actually 220 miles. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you? Do you have a prescribed length of time?
You know, people do it in different lengths. I chose 16 days, which worked out to about 12 and a half miles a day, but with no rest days. So that worked out fine for me. You know, I wanted to have enough time to actually look around a bit and, you know, stop and take in the scenery and stuff and not be, you know, trying to go so fast and push myself that I wouldn't enjoy it. So.
Sure. And now, I'm assuming that you booked this through an organization that sets this up.
Mm-hmm.
And do they set up for you then where you will be staying each night and kind of determine how far you're going to go in any given day?
Yeah, I went through a company in England, and I went by myself. I signed up for it by myself. I didn't hike with a group or anything, but there's always people out on this path, or, you know, starting in April usually. But anyway, I went through this company, told them how many days I wanted to do it in, and then they scheduled all the lodging. And so they sent me all this information that said, okay, on day two, you'll be staying at this pub, and the name of the owner is less than such, and here's the phone number, and here's the directions for finding it when you get off the path. So that was really great.
And what kind of, you mentioned a pub, but are you staying primarily in small hotels or in pubs or B&Bs or
B&Bs
all of the above?
B&Bs and pubs and a few small hotels, but mostly, like, you know, there were a couple pubs that just had a few rooms over the pub. I stayed in the Buck Hotel.
The Buck Hotel.
Had to be your favorite.
Yep. I better take the fifth on that one.
It was, never mind.
But
now, did you bring back a picture of that? A picture of the Buck Hotel for...
You know, I didn't. I brought him the business card. It was the best I could do. I stayed in some B&Bs that were incredible buildings. The two most unusual ones I stayed in were one, which was a pub with a hotel attached to it that was out on the moors, out in the middle of nowhere, and the original part of the building was built in the 1550s.
Oh my gosh!
By local monks in order to raise money.
Huh.
Yeah, by providing travel. Go
you
ahead. Know,
I don't want to spend a lot of time, but Buck just showed me the card that you brought back from the Buck Hotel with a little picture of it. And coincidentally, or ironically, one of the two, it looks really run down also. Sorry,
I'm glad you said that, not me. I couldn't resist.
Well, so you're averaging 12 and a half miles a day about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you had days that you went longer.
The shortest was 8, and the longest was the last day was 16.
And did you train for this?
Not enough, evidently. No, I did. I you know, I only decided like a month and a half before to go, so I didn't have that much time. And I walk pretty much anyway, but I was walking. I just made myself walk every day, but I didn't walk 12 miles a day ever before I went. I just figured, well, I'd deal with it when I got there.
So were you wearing walking shoes, hiking boots? What were you wearing?
I started out with hiking boots, and that turned out to be, you know, I was really pleased about my hiking boots because they were very old, and I thought they were broken in. But what I didn't realize is that they were so old that I think my feet had changed or grown or something, and they were really painful. No, it was just like my toes were really cramped. Sure. So about two-thirds of the way in, I just literally ditched the boots at a B&B and put a note on them saying, I do not want these. Do not send these after me. And hiked the rest of the way in my Merrells, and that was way better.
Okay.
But actually, you know, my boots were waterproof, and the first couple days were so bad weather.
I was going to ask you, did you run into, which you can in England, literally from hour to hour, but varieties of weather?
Yeah, the first couple days were high 30s, low 40s, driving sleet and rain and high winds, so much that I got blown over once.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, people's stuff was blowing away. You couldn't even take out your map because the wind was so high. It was really something. And the mist, I mean, we were up on this hill, and I say we because I ended up meeting all kinds of wonderful people and hiking with different people.
I'm sure.
And that first couple days, I was so grateful. I ran into a guy who had a GPS. Which had never really seemed like a big criterion for a friend until then. So I hiked with him for a couple of days, and which was great because I would not have been able to find my way because the mist came down and you couldn't see a thing.
Oh, you're kidding. No, so you couldn't follow the path.
Well, there wasn't a path.
Oh, I see.
Over that part. But yeah, and you couldn't see. And there was no way to take a compass bearing because you couldn't see anything to take a bearing from.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So that was a little spooky, actually.
We're visiting with Ann Passis, who just recently returned from England, where she hiked across England. So the path isn't necessarily like a nice, wide walking path.
Oh, no.
Things that are saying, here, this way.
No, and the man who developed this walk, Alfred Wainwright, is a famous walker in England, and he developed this walk and published his first book about it in the early 70s. And he basically was encouraging people to just sort of, you know, try to take whatever route you want, you know, within limits while respecting people's property and so forth. And so a lot of it isn't signed. Mm. And so, which is why you need a map and a compass and, you know, kind of generally need to know where to go. So lots of times I was walking through farm fields and climbing over stone walls and walking through farms and
just hoping you're on the right way.
But it was spectacularly beautiful. You know, April, it was full on spring there and super green. The lambs had just been born, all kinds of baby lambs and daffodils everywhere. And it was remarkable.
What kind of differences in land, you know, what the type of land you were going through?
Well, I mean, there were farm fields, there were valleys, there were the moors, you know, with all the heather, mountains. I mean, you name it, bogs. I mean, at one point I almost had my shoe sucked off by this boggy mud hole thing. You know, I mean, just, it was quite.
Sounds fun.
You know, Bob,
if you're into that kind of thing.
She also kept a presence on Facebook, so we could go every day. It'd be like day one, day two, day three. We could go, and I look forward to that every day.
Did you take your laptop with you?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you hiked with your laptop?
No. The company that organized the places to stay also had a luggage service, so you could send one bag. So I had my day pack, but I didn't carry everything with me. Another reason to do this hike.
I got to day 9.
Uh-huh.
I had to wait 3 days for day 10. How was the ale over there?
I have to say the ale was fabulous, and so was the food. I mean, it sort of dashed everything I'd thought about British food.
Well, England doesn't, it gets a pretty bad rap.
It was great.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And were they the food generally in the pubs where you stayed, yeah, or the B&Bs or,
yeah,
whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that, this is just kind of the print-up of the route and some of the things, something called Nine Standards. Did,
yes,
you see that?
I didn't, because that was a day that was super foggy and misty, oh, and they recommend that you don't go up there on that day. So the people I was hiking with decided to go up there on that day, and I didn't. And so I took the lower path, and they took the higher one.
They
and
took the higher
they
one.
Never actually saw, really, the nine standards, although they tried to get there.
I thought you were going to say, and they never came
no.
back. They never
no.
were seen again.
You never saw them again.
No.
So what was the 16 days, what was the highlight? What was it, if you, you know, what was my absolute favorite part?
Oh, man. I loved jumping over the streams. I must have crossed dozens of streams from rock to rock. That was super fun. And the people were so great, both all the hikers I met and all the innkeepers and the pub owners and stuff. I mean, people were so remarkably kind, and the most lovely kind things happened to me daily. It was really terrific.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Is it something that you would do again, or do you figure this is the kind of thing you do once? And
okay. Oh, I'm already looking to do my next walk. I won't do this same
Not
one.
Not necessarily here.
But there's a whole bunch of long-distance walks in the British Isles.
Oh.
And I'm sure I could do them here, too. Except the thing is there, it's smaller, and there's little towns, and you can stop and stay inside.
There's that.
There'd be that.
We're camping out in B&Bs.
Yeah.
Perfect. Life is good.
So I just have to share one of the nicest things.
I have another wine, please.
That happened to me, which was one day I was needed to take a bus about 6 miles from one town to another, and I figured out what bus to take, got on the bus, asked the driver, who was a driver in training, and there was an older gentleman behind him, asked him if this bus went to this town. He said yes. I gave him my money. I sat down, and I'm looking out the window, and all of a sudden I think, you know, geez, I think we should have been here by now. It's only 6 miles. So I lean forward to the older gentleman and say, could you please tell me when we arrive in Bolton, because I need to get off? And he turned around and he said, Bolton? That was 3 miles ago. And I must have just looked stricken. I mean, all I said was 3 miles, just thinking, I can't walk anymore, you know? And he took one look at me and he pushed the young guy out of the chair and got in the seat and turned the bus around and took me back.
Oh.
I mean, all the people, I just was looking around the bus thinking, oh my gosh, I hope these people don't have job interviews. I mean, but stuff like that happened. They were so warm. It was just such a great experience.
Oh, that's
people
great.
Were really, really kind and fun. And yeah.
It sounds great.
It was terrific.
We've been visiting with Ann Passas. Ann just recently returned from a hike across England and is now looking forward to the Sahara crossing.
No, I don't think
Death
so.
Valley.
But this is totally doable. I mean, it was pretty challenging, big elevation changes, but it's doable.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know me. If I can do this, people can do this. You know?
Well, it really does. It sounds wonderful.
And I
really
had good advice from my athletic friends like Buck.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh. What advice did he give you?
What kind of ale to drink?
Stay in a B&B.
Yeah, stay in a B&B. Don't hike any further than you want to.
Good idea. That's good advice. That's
that
good
is
advice.
Good advice. And just think about one day at a time.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just right here for right
that
now.
That worked out well.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.